Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
Children are essentially defenseless when adults behave badly, irresponsibly, as when children are strapped into car seats, the windows rolled up, and those adults smoke while they drive. I'm Christopher Springman, and you're listening to Life, Love, and Health. Little wonder that many states, well, led by California and several countries, including Canada and Australia, have all banned smoking in cars when children are present. Our next guest, a practicing pediatrician, is hardly objective on the subject. He is Dr. Jonathan Winnicoff, associate professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School, who has drafted key tobacco control policy for, among others, the American Medical Association and the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Winnicoff, thanks so much for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
You're a pediatrician, one of my favorite folks in medicine. And as you say in the pediatrician business, children are not just small adults. Rather, they are growing human beings, often growing at an accelerated rate, who are very susceptible to environmental pollutants, especially secondhand smoke. Do you agree with that conclusion?
Yeah, actually, the process of development includes brain development, and the developing brain is uniquely susceptible to some of the toxins in tobacco smoke, so much so that even small concentrations of tobacco smoke can actually lower reading and math scores. A lot of people don't think about intellectual development when they think about tobacco smoke exposure, but new findings really do point to a complete compromise in development, not only lung development, but also in some of the intellectual areas as well.
I shared with you a new study from the Monell Chemical Senses Center in Philadelphia entitled Secondhand Smoke Impairs Vital Cough Reflex in Kids, and their findings may help to explain why children of smokers are more likely to develop pneumonia, bronchitis, and other diseases, and are more likely to experiment with smoking during adolescence because their cough reflexes have been either suppressed or desensitized. Does that finding surprise you, Doctor?
Well, it doesn't. One of the key additives, and again, this is not a surprise to the tobacco industry either. One of the key additives to all cigarettes is menthol. Now, menthol anesthetizes the throat, and here in this research we see that it may have effects on the cough reflex as well. This allows the smoke to get deeper into those young smokers. It also gets in deeper into children's lungs when they are exposed to tobacco smoke. And it does help youth get over that initial hump so that they can become then addicted to the nicotine in cigarettes and smoke for a lifetime, providing the money that the tobacco industry needs.
And also menthol cigarettes are targeted at a very specific community. Can you address that?
Yeah. So, in the 60s and the 70s, there was a problem. The tobacco industry faced a problem because blacks didn't smoke. Very, very low smoking rate.
Really? I had no idea.
And that was a big issue for them because there's a big segment of the United States that they weren't able to get into. So they designed a special cigarette, which was heavily mentholated. They drove in white trucks to the ghettos in the South and in the northern cities. And they gave out free cigarettes to children. Those children then traded those menthol cigarettes to their older siblings and to their parents for candy. And now here we are today where the black smoking rate is the same as the white smoking rate, and blacks' brand of choice is menthol.
Probably Kool or Newport. It's interesting to drive through a community of color, specifically an African-American community, and within a block, the outdoor boards, the billboards, change dramatically. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah. Marketing is intense. It's intense in poorer neighborhoods that maybe haven't had the community organizing to expel these the tobacco industry representatives. The chances of escaping as a non-smoker in a poor community are much smaller than in the wealthy communities. It's really become not just a race issue, but a class issue.
Our guest is Dr. Jonathan Winnikoff, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at the Harvard Medical School, who has drafted key tobacco control policy work for a number of organizations, including the American Medical Association and the American Academy of Pediatrics, which, by the way, facilitated this interview. By the way, this is the fourth anniversary, Doctor, of the state of California passing a very interesting law, the Smoke-Free Cars with Minors Law, which prohibits adults in automobiles from smoking in cars which contain children, who, of course, are strapped in. I bet you support that kind of legislation, don't you?
Well, I have to just say thank goodness they did that. That really secured California as the lead state in the country for tobacco control efforts. And we hope that California continues to be successful in this area, including in the tax increase area for cigarettes. That tax increase will continue to come up for vote in California, so I hope that your listeners in California will support that again when it comes up. But the idea that we somehow protect kids in a car seat from a motor vehicle accident, but then we allow them to breathe in toxins of tobacco smoke seems a little counterintuitive. And so that's why this law is so important to provide consistent protection to children in the context of motor vehicle operations.
Well, you know, adults can choose whether or not to enter a bar or an establishment that allows smoking or has separate smoking sections, but kids have no choice. I mean, they are strapped into what one critic referred to as a rolling smokehouse, a car.
We require kids to be strapped in.
That's right.
And so how can a child tell their parent or another adult who's smoking in the car to stop? There's no power. That's why it's up to others to be able to say, this isn't right, this isn't fair. That infant strapped in a car seat is crying, and they're crying for us to be able to allow them to breathe clean air. They can't even get to the window to open it. They can't reach it. They can't operate it. So if we're going to be having kids strapped into car seats, we also need to ensure that they breathe clean air where they drive and clean air at home.
By the way, speaking of clean air, you're leaving tomorrow for China to start a tobacco control research project. Ah, the idea of tobacco control in China is so overwhelming to me. I just returned from Hong Kong, Beijing, and Shanghai, where smoking is, and this is my word, pandemic. It's just incredible, plus the amount of particulate matter in the air. You've got your hands full.
60% of male Chinese smoke. A much smaller percentage of women, but the industry, the tobacco industry, is working very hard to both lower the smoking age, to get people to smoke as early as possible, but also to make sure that women know how important it is for them to smoke. That's what the marketing is about there, and my guess is that they'll be successful.
Wow. Our guest has been Dr. Jonathan Winnikoff, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at the Harvard Medical School. You can learn more about these issues, as smoking issues, as related to pediatrics, at the following websites, healthychildren.org, and the American Academy of Pediatrics site at aap.org. Dr. Winnikoff, thank you so much for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health. I really admire the work that you're doing. And when it comes to smoking, folks, I am not fair and balanced. I'm Christopher Springman. You've been listening to Life, Love, and Health on Radio MD.